two more short readings, John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. John 19, verses 28 to 30, that's page 1088 of the Pew Bibles. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And also then, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. Page 1202. Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 18. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Amen. The tension was building. The battle lines were drawn. He went with a fickle crowd and fickle followers. With a dozen legions of angels waited, should he call on them for help. He entered the enemy's territory. He went to take the battle to the enemy. It was the eve of the critical battle. Eternity depended on it. The universe held its breath. Over the days that lie ahead, we see Jesus enter the fray. He does not divert from the battle that is in store. He goes headlong into it. We see the drama of the week that we know as Holy Week building, until it reaches a crescendo. He goes into the temple and he upends tables, throws out those who had taken it over for things other than worshipping his Father in heaven. God the Father will be glorified. The critical battle to restore the kingdom of God has begun. Luke 19. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. The week progresses. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is only days away. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, those opposed to the true Messiah are still looking for ways and means to arrest and kill this radical from Nazareth, but not during the feast for fear of a riot. But a simple woman, she knows the truth. The battle that is underway. For she realizes this Messiah must die, and all kings in Judah must be anointed. But when she pours the rich perfume made of pure nard on the head of the Messiah, an outcry. His own men that have followed from Galilee, journeyed with him for 3 years, hung on the teacher's words, and yet they still don't realize that he must die. The critical battle that must be fought. Why waste this expensive perfume? It could be sold for money and given to the poor, but the woman, she knew her king must die, and his body needed to be symbolically ready for burial. But the radical from Nazareth, who was fighting the battle, he knew the time had come, the crunch time. But for one of the 12, the battle had already been lost. For the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. For money? Or was it dissatisfaction that Judas rejected this Messiah? Judas's battle was lost. But the battle for Jesus, hours away from the Passover feast, he knew his time had come, when he would leave this world and go into battle for his Father. And yet, being God incarnate, knowing what he did about Judas the deceiver, he got down on his knees, he humbled himself, and wrapping a towel around his waist, he washed the dirt and grime from the feet of the disciples, including the very one who he knew would deceive him and hand him over to be brutally crucified. As we would stand at the edge of a battle, what would be in our mind? Our loved ones, perhaps. And so it was with the radical called Jesus. He knew as the Son of Man by what he was facing, what lay ahead, that he was glorified and that God is glorified in him. But the challenge for his disciples, John 13, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The command that in death they were to love and show love, because this was how others would know that they were different and bring glory to Jesus and God the Father. Standing in the midst of the battle that we face in a secular world, as Christians, how is our love for one another? Because this is how others will view us, and as a powerful witness in a world where love is fickle and meaningless. The love of God the Father and his Son, when he faced that battle on the cross, is the most significant event in the history of this world. Love one another as I have loved you. By this they will know that you are my disciples. In the dark of the night, Matthew 26, and Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." the battle was raging. The Messiah knew his destiny and he went to a place of solitude, a place where he could meet with his Father and prayed. He cried, "Not my will, but yours." He asked his closest friends and followers to keep watch over him, not much to ask. And yet not once, not twice, but three times they lost their battle and fell asleep. While the Messiah cried out to his Father in heaven, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." The battle was in full swing. The forces of evil were advancing. A crowd arrives with swords and clubs. And a kiss. That is all it took. A kiss from one who had once walked and talked with him. One who had been a friend. And travelled along dusty roads, sat on mountainsides as the Messiah taught of the kingdom that would come. He had even kneeled and washed the dirt and dust from his feet just a short while earlier. And now a kiss. A kiss of betrayal. One that would change the world forever. Even though they arrived with weapons of violence, ready for war. And his friends, their response, sure, it seemed appropriate, meet violence with violence. But this battle wasn't to be a physical one. Because, Matthew 26, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? He was taken away. A false trial in the middle of the night. False accusations and testimony abound. And yet he remains silent. He could call on a legion of angels, and yet he remains silent. His Father's will be done. And then one final question from the high priest. "Are you the Christ?" This time he speaks. "Ego emi, I am." With two words he seals his fate. The battle has been lost. Or has it? They spit on him. They blindfold him. They humiliate him. They beat him. They strip him. They mock him. They give him a crown of thorns, sharp and jaggy, and place it on his head before striking him on the head with a blunt lump of wood. "Hail, King of the Jews," they cry out in their mocking, coarse tongue before leading him off to Golgotha. A short time ago, he had kneeled in Gethsemane and prayed to his Father. Now at Golgotha, he is stripped and attached to the cross. To shouts and insults from the onlookers of, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." The battle had entered the critical phase. If he called an army of angels, they would come and take him, free him from this bloody death. And then Matthew 27. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. A About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We often feel a weight of these words. They seem like defeat. They seem like a battle is lost. They seem as if the cross was the end. Sometimes with Good Friday, we carry ourselves a darkness that seems like we are overwhelmed, crushed, and conquered. That it is only with the resurrection that we have victory. That we have to wait to Easter Sunday to know and rejoice in the victory of Christ's rising. But victory was won on the cross. The critical battle took place that day, 2,000 and a bit years ago, when Jesus submitted himself and died. When he gave his life, the battle in that moment was won. As he advanced to the cross of his own accord to meet death, this is a great campaign. It is the battle of the kingdom of God. Jesus goes to do battle with Satan. The driving out of Satan commenced when Christ defied Satan's temptations. When he stormed the battle positions that Satan had put in his way throughout his ministry and right through those final days. At the moment that he is lifted high on the cross, when the Son of Man is glorified, as darkness overcomes the land, the supernatural enemy is faced in the moment of agony of his death. As he cries out, "It is finished," he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The battle has been won. The enemy, the evil one, Satan, who first reared his ugly head in the beauty of the Garden of Eden, where God and man had once walked in harmony in the cool of the day. And that enemy has fought, waged a war since that day. But as Christ cried, "It is finished," Satan was defeated. Satan is driven out, and the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Christ, is lifted high and exalted. We read in 1 John 3, verse 8, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." As Christ died on that cross, two things happened. The Messiah, the sinless one, became sin for us. He was a living sacrifice. He died that we would live. But also in that same act of death, the work of Satan was destroyed. Hebrews 2:14-15, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." By his humanity, by his death, he broke and defeated the power that Satan holds over death. Satan's hold is destroyed. Christ's death sets us free. John Stott, in The Cross of Christ, writes, "For though the devil has been defeated, he has not yet conceded defeat. Although he has been overthrown, he has not yet been eliminated. In fact, he continues to wield great power. This is the reason for the tension that we feel in both our theology and our experience. On the one hand, we are alive, seated and reigning with Christ, with even the principalities of powers of evil placed by God under his and therefore our feet. On the other, we are warned that these same spiritual forces have set themselves in opposition to us, so that we have no hope of standing against them unless we are strong in the Lord's strength and clad in his armour. And then he puts it in different language. On the one hand, we are assured that having been born of God, Christ keeps us safe, and the evil one does not touch us. On the other hand, we are warned to watch out, because the evil one prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Many Christians choose one or other of these positions, or they oscillate unsteadily between them. Some are triumphalists, who see only decisive victory of Jesus Christ and overlook the apostolic warnings against the powers of darkness. Others are defeatists, who see only the fearsome malice of the devil and overlook the victory over him which Christ has already won. The tension is part of the Christian dilemma between the already and the not yet. Already the kingdom of God has been inaugurated. It is advancing. Not yet has it been consummated. The critical battle was fought. Eternity depended on it. The universe held its breath. The enemy was defeated. We are free and forgiven.